Monday, February 11, 2019, Dakota County Board of Equalization at 1 o'clock, Dakota County Board of Commissioners meeting at 1:02.
Jeff Kirby.
We call the meeting of the Dakota County Board of Equalization to order. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Kevin is unable to come today, and I guess we'll ask for a roll call, Joan.
Okay, Kevin is absent. Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
Okay, a current copy of the Open Meetings Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the county board meeting room and is available for review by all citizens. Do I ask for any public comment or just start through the agenda? Okay, it looks like we have, consent agenda. Any individual item may be removed by a commissioner by special discussion or consideration. These items will be approved as one with a single vote of the Board of Commissioners. So the only item we have on our consent agenda today is approval of the previous minutes from January 28th.
So move to approve the minutes from last meeting.
Tony, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Second. Larry?
Janet?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Okay, we have one item of new business on our agenda today. It is to approve or deny the request of tax exemption on real and personal property by VSL Emerson, LLC, which is Heritage of Emerson, parcels 22001332 and number 22201073 78, located at 607 Nebraska Street in Emerson, Nebraska. I believe this was maybe on the last agenda as well, but I think there's been some additional research done. Can I call Jeff for an update on the research regarding that item?
Thank you. Yeah, what we've done is we've reached, because this is kind of a multi-county deal here that we're looking at, because we've never been approached by a nursing home before for this type of exemption. And we've had a lot of different discussions with a lot of different assessors and counties and kind of going through seeing what we want to do with this just to be consistent. So right now, the way it sits, I've also requested some financial information and had received that back and reviewed it. I've requested additional financial information in a different format from them as well that will help me understand the cost piece of it, the profit piece of it, and some things like that. So currently, as it stands, my recommendation won't change until I can better understand financials and get a better understanding of how it, 'cause I know Bethesda, some Catholic organizations have facilities, but they're 100% religious-based. They don't even apply for charitable. They're religious, and that's different. Charitable, they qualify in some senses if you read the statutes, so I wouldn't say they absolutely don't qualify. There's one particular one in there that kind of fits what they do, so I think it's just requires the time necessary to find out if that alone would qualify them. And we're still working with the state, too. I don't know what's going to go to their attorneys yet or not, but we've talked to a couple of tax specialist seniors at that level. And they've asked us, you know, just at this point, hold fast or recommend no to your boards. And I think they're doing their own research into this as well. My main concern and why I still have it as a no is exclusive. The term exclusive and what it means, how we want to define it. I know they don't. The way they bring a patient in and then they is without requiring or an understanding of what their income is. I think they meet that, or they say they do, and then if they run out of funding or financing, they say they don't ask them to leave. So those things have to be reviewed a little bit more, too, on that. But that's where I'm at. I would still stand and recommend no at this time. I'll get some more financial information, continue some more conversations at this point, and just kind of see where I go from there. But at this point, I don't see enough yet.
So that's your recommendation?
Yep, my recommendation would be no.
More information, more to fit.
Yep, exactly. So at this point in time, I would still say no.
Okay.
Thanks for your research, Jeff. Yep, really appreciate that. A lot of digging.
Yeah, there is to it. But we'll continue it, and we'll get it all finished up.
Thank you, Jeff.
Do you want the board to make a decision today?
No, probably.
The board can, but we still have time, too. I think it's until we have till the end of the month or something, or I forget where it is, but the board could rule on it in our next meeting. I'm trying to remember. If they want, giving us a little bit more time. I think I'm trying to remember the statute now, but I can't remember the dates. I know
not
it gets.
I'm not 100%.
Yeah, I know. I don't think it goes past February because I think at that point we need letters from them as to why we don't have a decision. I think it creates another problem for on top of what we're doing. But I think we could maybe have another meeting in February.
Yeah, we're
looking at the
25th.
Yeah, and we do have one already on the calendar.
Is there a Board of Equalization on the 25th? There can be.
Personally, myself, I'd like to have dig more into this and have more information and put it on the next agenda if that's okay with the statute. To kind of turn it into.
It's on before February 1st.
Really?
Yeah.
And we thought we could make a decision last time.
What if three between February 1st and June 1st?
Can we follow with the recommendation and reverse it if we need to or not?
They can appeal.
At one time they talked about denying it and then appealing it.
To so if we chose to do that, they can still appeal, so it wouldn't be done. Mm-hmm. I mean, we would still have time, and we wouldn't quit researching it either. You know, if that was the board's decision, you know, to take my recommendation.
Okay.
But I'd still have time because they can still appeal.
Okay.
And there's other counties that are meeting, and it's coming in
to
all the time, about every day, actually. So.
Yeah. All right.
Well, what do you think?
I'd say
a motion?
I would make that recommendation to go ahead and deny that at this time, and they can appeal it to Turk if they want to go forward from that point.
Okay. Marty, a motion to deny the tax exemption request. Do
second.
I have a second? Okay. Tony, a second. All in favor? Or we do roll. Marty?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
Larry?
Yeah.
Janet?
Yes.
And that is the only item we have on here, so at this point.
Mailbag or emergency business?
Mail or emergency business. Anything else come forward since this agenda's been set?
No.
Any public comment on any topics? Okay, well, I think that's the fastest.
See, we're going to have to keep you in charge there.
Okay, 1:10.
You're certified.
Mm-hmm. Go, Kevin. You did it.
10 minutes. All right, 1:10, we'll go ahead and start our Board of Commissioners meeting. A current copy of the Open Meeting Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the County Board meeting room and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. First of all, we're going to start with public comment. If anybody has any comment on anything that's not on the agenda, now would be the time. They'd be welcome to come forward and have those comments. But looks like we have none of that today. So,
can I call roll?
Yeah, let's call roll.
Marty?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin is absent. Larry?
Yes.
Jana?
Yes.
Excuse Kevin. I'd like to make the motion to excuse Kevin from today's meeting.
Was I supposed to do that on the
second? No.
No.
Okay. No. I'll second it.
Okay.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin is absent. Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Marty?
All right, consent agenda items. Approve the minutes from our January 28th, 2019 meeting. Came in earlier and went through payroll claims. Everything seemed to be in order. So this time, make a motion, or I'd ask for a motion to approve the consent agenda items.
I can make a motion for that.
I'll second.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
All right, new business. Jared Raymer's county liaison was going to come up here and give us some information on what's going on, but with Adrian Smith. But we have, but he was unable to make it because of the weather. So we're going to go ahead and skip that. He said he'd rescheduled here down the road. So at 1:13, we're going to have a public hearing for the purpose. The highway superintendent to present the 1 and 6 year road plan to the board for the purpose of giving citizens the opportunity to offer support, opposition, or make neutral comments regarding the plan. So, Brett, you want to go ahead and give us your 1 and 6 year?
Just a guideline that counties send into the state for projects through the 1 and 6 years. You could add or delete any project that you would like to at any time on the 1 through the 6. But it's a formality for the state, for the board to okay it. If there's any questions or comments.
Is there anything on here that we're going to do this year?
What's that?
Are we going to do these 5 projects that are on here for 19?
That's what I'd like to. On the first, on the 1 year?
Yeah.
Yes.
The $300,000, I'm assuming that's that bridge out by Holmes.
Correct.
Is that before or after FEMA's input?
FEMA has not committed any money at this time yet.
So we're on our own?
If we're on the hook for all of it right now. It is been put on their list of projects to okay, but they have not committed to a full dollar amount on any of the projects yet. We have 22 projects through FEMA through the disaster last year. Some are finished and they have okay. I think the Ann Avenue out there that Mark Albanicious did, I think they've okayed that, but there are approximately 17 projects that are not finished yet that they're in the process of okaying yet.
So what's the odds that a person will receive any money from for that bridge?
I would. I have been told by some FEMA representatives, good. What happens sometimes with FEMA, on the Rosie Krueger Bridge, they said that our bridge was inadequate and had problems before it washed away, that they did not feel that they needed to spend that much money for a new one. Same way here. We had a 18-foot bridge. We built a 22-foot one. It's a better, they're feeling that they should only have to pay for what was
there,
a 12-ton bridge. We are not going to build an 18-foot, 12-ton bridge.
No, matter of fact, I was out toward the border, west border out there the other day, And I saw one of the labor bridges with a 20-ton load capacity. I mean, this was a concrete deck and a concrete barrier sidewall, you know, on the sides of the bridge. I couldn't hardly believe it that we'd actually built, and this would have been built in the last 20 years.
That it was already a 20-ton structure?
Well, no, the plate right in the core of the concrete was said 20-ton. I don't get that. I mean, I don't know why we would build something that's...
I don't know either, Larry.
But anyway, so then these five items are something that could happen, but $300,000 is going to be what we got to figure to take out.
Yeah, that's including our work that we have on the approaches, too. As you know, the bridge was 77. We have work to do on the approaches. Whether Mr. FEMA will pay us any or all that has not been determined yet.
Now, down on Hall Avenue, that's $60,000, $90,000, or $80,000.
Mm-hmm.
90. That would include everything.
Correct.
Okay.
Pipe's already been bought.
I see. That.
The work has not been done. The next project up the road, about another half mile there on Hall, I think there's only 36-inch pipe, two of them. They have not been purchased yet, but it shouldn't be that big of a purchase.
Where's those pipes there going to go?
Pardon?
Where are those two pipes there going to go?
There's another little bridge as you go a little bit further up the road.
Past that guy's place there.
Yeah.
That's where those two are going.
Yeah, we're going to put culverts and do away with that bridge also.
But then there's another culvert somewhere that's not inadequate somewhere on that road?
No.
These are two more somewhere.
Yes.
Okay. The grading of Perry Avenue. I'm trying to think where that's at.
That is Nicora.
That deal, that's been in the cooker for several years.
What we'd like to do is build the approach up to the highway so it's level, so you don't come up to the highway.
Yeah, I know. That's
and right. There's a few of the lanes that we are having drainage problems on, too. Just build the just
run
general the maintenance.
Runs across
clean some ditches out and haul some dirt in.
Yeah, okay. Are these going? These are getting out. How many man hours do you think, or how much of the time this year is going to take to build this stuff to do this?
On Perry?
Yeah.
A week. As far as man hours, you figure 3 to 4 men, 40 hours.
Probably. Okay. So the only.
It's mostly just hauling dirt. If we can get the dirt off of minimum maintenance roads or ditches, that's what I'm hoping. Mostly on the east side of Perry Avenue is where I'm looking at, right?
Is there any plan to do anything different along South Bluff than what's been done in the past as far as drainage?
Is it where the water's going across the road now?
The
reason we got water going across the road now is the waters went down the ditch line and froze and keeps the water building up, forcing the water on the road. We might do some ditch cleaning, but as far as that's the first time we've ever had that problem. That much water, we don't know why there's springs running so much. Time of year, you don't have 2 to 3 springs.
But the ditches really can't. What's there today for ditches aren't really ditches to speak of.
But even if there was deeper, more ditches, you'd still have the ice build up. Might not have as much, take longer for the problem. I've never seen that before, is all, Larry.
Well, I kind of seen it, but I didn't, nothing to that magnitude, really.
Just hope for spring to let on.
Yeah, we have a long way to go yet. Probably 2 months. Thank you.
Brett, I ran into Mike Wilmus recently, and he said that he had a place where he thought you could get dirt on either side of that bridge. I don't know if you had, because I know at one time we talked about trucking it around. Just might want to touch base with him and see what his option was. I told him you'd give him a holler at your convenience.
I've had another resident out there said he had dirt. I have looked at the county right away. I think we got enough.
Okay, good.
We can get it all on the east side.
Mm-hmm.
Once we get the east side done, just be a matter of
running
getting
over the deck
off the west side to jump off there.
All right.
But if
how many people is it going to take to do that, county guys?
I'm hoping 3 to 4.
3 to 4.
Two truck drivers, probably a backhoe operator, and you probably will need somebody down right at the bridge site.
And then when it comes time for the blade, you'll have to have the blade windrow to rock. So it's going to take...
But, I mean, a backhoe and two trucks, we got two dump trucks right now, so there's two men, backhoe operator, they haul the dirt down there, so you're pretty well going to have four. You throw in a sheep's foot operator, you'll have five.
But that won't leave anybody to travel the roads, will it? If you put all your neighbors...
What happens is when we start dirt projects, we start taking our operators off the roads. What you do then is you usually push somebody off and at one of their districts over onto there wherever there's problems and try and keep up. But we haven't had a dirt crew for a long time.
Yeah.
And we've been a man short in the road department for over 10 years now.
What was his job title?
We had at one time what we had two floaters, we called them. They just went wherever. If somebody was on vacation, somebody called in sick, they filled in. If we did dirt work, they were there to do that kind of things, drive truck. Team and Leitris is still basically a floater, although he's in the truck more often than he is anything.
How long is it going to take to get those ramps built to that bridge, would you guess?
Get the what?
Ramps built up to the bridge and get the road done there. How long do you think? Week, two, 10, 5, or weeks?
Actually, to build the approach ramp, up to the road?
Get it passable. I mean, just like it's done. Done.
So it's passable, you mean?
Well, I'm done.
The guy ought to be able to do that in 2 to 3 days.
Really? Haul all the dirt down there and then put the rock and stuff on in 2 days?
To actually build a ramp and an approach up to it? Or to finish the whole road?
Oh, right. I mean, so it's all done, seeded and everything. When you go?
Down with the bridge.
I'd say a couple weeks.
Thanks.
To finally shape, to actually get out there and say you're going to... We're going to disc up where our borrow is first. I'll even use the sod on the bottom side. I'm not going to shove it off. I'll use it.
So there'd be, actually, weather permitting, it might be 2 weeks, and if the weather don't cooperate, it could be a month.
It could be months. Janet, you had a question?
I did. Items 6 through 12, it all shows fiscal year 2020. Is that just, I thought this was a 6-year plan? All of those items aren't going to happen in 2020, are they?
6 through 12?
Yeah, it shows fiscal year 2020.
Like it says, it's a 1 and 6. So we prioritize by years that we'd like to have things done. But they can change, they can move up, they can be pushed back.
Okay. So yeah, really...
But that when you see the years on them...
So those are just, this is kind of the tentative list, but we, at this point, items 1 through 5 are the ones that are probably more priority right now. The ones that say fiscal year 19.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that'd be all there'd be money for, actually.
Yeah, that's what I said. Those other items look kind of...
That'd be all consumed the budget.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's what my thought, too.
This is predictable.
Okay. Thank you, Fred. Sorry.
All right. So anybody in the audience want to speak on the 1 and 6? Anybody want to make comments for, against, or indifferent about the 1 and 6? All right. So Fred's requesting the board pass and approve Resolution 19C-03, adopting the 1 and 6 year plan.
Close the hearing.
Yeah, we'll close the hearing at 1:26.
So now you need the motion, right, Mike?
Yeah.
I make the motion to accept the resolution 19C-03 for the 6 year plan on the county road.
Second that. Janet?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
All right, Amy and Robert, come on down. Three Rivers Benefit Inc. to present the board health care plan, results of the past year, and request approval of the stop loss contract renewal.
Thank you.
I'll let my neighbor.
Okay, my name is Amy Kleinberg. I'm with Three Rivers.
Robert Rapp, Interstate Insurance Service.
Seems familiar.
It's a heritage. Just not hers, mine.
All right, should we just get into it? Okay.
Sounds good.
And is everybody on?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So basically what this is just a snapshot of the year. It gives us our total enrolled month by month, single and family. All of your costs are across the top. So your employee fixed cost, $169.55, family, $325.21. The funding factor, or aggregate factor, we'll call it a little bit later, $563.18 for single. Family is $1,566.83. So we're using those numbers to come up with these fixed costs that go month by month, are based on the counts and those costs. Then we list out the total paid claims by month, the actual monthly aggregate and the minimum monthly aggregate. For those that are not as familiar with stop loss coverage, we have two different types of deductibles. The specific deductible, which just applies to each individual, the aggregate deductible applies to the group as a whole. So it's that umbrella over the top that says if you hit a certain dollar amount, that stop loss carrier is going to start reimbursing when the group as a whole goes over these dollar amounts. Okay, so each month, you have an attachment point that's based on the enrollment of the group for that month, single family. The next line down, reimbursed claims, those are claims that go over that specific deductible that the carrier reimburses. And they actually don't reimburse it, they pay it. We don't have the county pay it out and then wait to get it back. The carrier just pays it directly. So those are listed out month by month. The first few months usually are zero. Because it takes a while to accumulate those claims to get over the specific and the aggregating. And then down below, the last row is the ineligible claims. That's going to be dental claims, claims paid with outside of that aggregate year, which that is pretty rare, but it does happen. So those come off the top. So if we look down below, your total fixed cost, $195,442. Total paid claims, 1.3. Reimbursed claims, $737,942. That is what the carrier has paid out this year on claims over that specific deductible. Ineligible claims, $102,000. So the total cost, $927,5370. You averaged 79 singles and 14 families. This is all with regard to the health insurance, not dental. So you get an average employee cost of $753.48, average family cost of $1,793.28, and as of the January claims, you guys are running at 72% of your aggregate, which is a lot better than where we were a couple months ago. We were at 98.
Really? Good.
So, yeah, it was real close.
Okay.
The page after that, it's basically just the backup. This aggregate report is sent out every month. And so it's really just a different sheet that has the same information on it. Okay. So if we go to the next page, claims by type, we are looking at the amount of medical, dental, and prescriptions. The blue piece of the pie is your medical claims, 87% of the total cost. Yeah. 45,287.70 is your dental, 119 is your prescription. Okay. Your percentages are similar to last year. Last year, your medical claims were 81% of the total cost. Prescriptions were 13, and your dental was 6. Okay, okay. So it's in line.
Okay.
Next page is claims by relationship. The reason that we think this graph is so important is we like the pie, the biggest slice of the pie, to be the blue piece. That means that your plan is paying the bulk of its medical claims out on your employees and not dependents or spouses, which is what we like. Although in this particular year, had it been more dependents and spouses, there are some things that we could suggest to lower that, but it's not the case. We do have some plans that require if a spouse has insurance elsewhere or if they're eligible for it, that they can't be on this plan. Mm-hmm. Don't really see a reason to do that with this plan yet because the dependent and the spouse's claims are such a small mm-hmm. piece of your overall pie.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So if we go to cost by age group, the one thing that is always a little bit misleading on this page is the 0 to 9, because the prescriptions through Welldyne, which is your pharmacy benefit manager, they are put in with the date of birth that puts them in that age range. So like $120,000 of these claims are prescriptions, and they are not attributable to a child between the ages of 0 and 9.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
What is a little bit surprising is that the bulk of your claims come in the middle of the age group. Usually we see it towards the end, you know, in the 50 to 59 or 60 to 69. So this particular year, you're right smack dab in the middle. Okay? All right. If we go back then to the monthly cost summary, I don't really see any reason to go over it again. We basically looked at the monthly summary twice on those first two sheets that we went over. This one just has a pretty little graph that goes with it. You will see the dip in the RX payments, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. There's a reason why that dips so low, that red line.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll get to that in just a minute. Rank order analysis should be the next chart that we're looking at. Basically, yeah, it's got the little bar graph.
Yeah.
This one here.
Yep.
Yeah, skip the cost. There you go.
Right? Yeah.
There you go. Yeah.
Basically, this is telling us which providers did our members utilize the most. Accredo Health Group is somebody that nobody probably is familiar with. They are a company that we went to get a certain service at a discounted rate. Okay, it's not a local provider. It's in connection with the prescription. So usually Welldyne is going to be in that first place. But there's a very large chunk of prescription drugs that were actually run through the Accredo. We were able to negotiate a drug at a much better cost by going through them. So that dip in the prescriptions is where it was backed out of Welldyne and then run through Accredo, because they did let us go back a little ways and realize that discount on some that had already run through. Okay, so that's why there's that dip there. Everything else is exactly what we would think. We would think that the three major local providers would be in your top five. Okay. Any questions on any of this so far?
Tell me again why it pops up in the middle of the year. Is that when people all have their deductibles to submit or something?
No, what pops up?
Like a monthly cost. It pops up significantly.
Yeah, I mean,
I know you mentioned it, but I just need to get it clear in my head again.
Part of it is that usually those first couple months people are meeting deductibles and stuff, unless it's a humongous claim.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is that when somebody goes over that dollar amount, if they do it in a pretty big fashion, which we did have this year, the carrier starts kicking in at a certain point. So, you know, usually you're not going to see that in the first couple of months. It is more likely to see it in the middle or towards the end.
Yeah, that's why I was surprised it wasn't flatter out here on the end.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. But
The really simple answer is that just happened to be the month that the really big claims came through. Mm-hmm. And we have no control over that, unfortunately. So,
okay. Okay.
So if we look at preventable condition, hopefully this is going to make you feel better before we get into the next part of this. Okay, your claims this year were $560,000 higher than last year.
A month?
Okay. Yeah, $560,000. So when you look at preventable conditions, you will see that if you flip to the second page of that, and over on the right-hand side, the second column, where it says plan payments, $56,000 is what was paid out for preventable conditions. Now, that doesn't mean that somebody did something that they shouldn't have or didn't do something that they should have, and so we had to pay these claims. It's just certain diagnoses that fall into that category. But when you look at $56,000 versus the amount of $1.3 million worth of claims paid, people are doing things to keep from having high claims. You know, I think since we put in some of the preventive care that is now covered with no cost sharing, the colonoscopies and all of those things, I think that's working. But sometimes you just have a diagnosis that is incredibly expensive to treat. And that's really what we're looking at this year, is a couple of pretty gnarly diagnoses and very expensive treatments. Okay? All right, so if you turn past the pretty pink paper, this is where we get into your renewal. So the first column, the expiring plan, that is the plan that is currently in place and the rates that are currently in place. You have a $35,000 specific. Every member covered by the plan, employee, spouse, or dependent, the county is going to pay the first $35,000 worth of their claims. Okay? In addition to that, which is down towards the bottom, you have an aggregating specific of $30,000. So on top of the $35,000, anybody that goes over the $35,000 on an aggregate basis will have another $30,000 worth of claims that the county funds before the carrier will kick anything in. Okay? The reason that we put an aggregating specific into a plan is usually there's a dollar-for-dollar trade-off. You save $30,000 in premium by taking on that $30,000 risk. So at the end of the day, the worst thing that's going to happen is you're going to pay the whole $30,000. Sometimes you can save some of that if you don't have the claims where the group would meet that 30, then you don't pay it out. Okay? The specific contract type is 1218. What that means is that claims incurred in 12 months and paid out in 18. So incurred from March to February, and then we pay out on the back end 6 months. So anybody that has met that specific deductible, any of their claims that come in towards the end still are going to get the carrier to reimburse. And that's good news for that's good for the county to do that 6 month run out. Okay, your aggregate contract type, that is that umbrella that we talked about. That is incurred in 24 and paid in 12. So 2 years basically worth of claims could all run through and be paid out in that 12 month period. Okay, no annual maximum. Life insurance rate stayed the same. When we met, I believe back in October maybe or November, we did agree to lower the fees. So that 19 and 28 for single and family, if you'll look at the renewal, those are down to 1650 and 2550, and that PPACA fee is now removed. We have already instituted, that's already gone into effect. It started on January 1st. So you're being billed those new rates now. It doesn't wait until the renewal, okay? You have your broker fee, utilization review, MAP Delphi, that is anytime somebody's going in for an inpatient stay, outpatient surgeries, all of those types of things, they have to register through that utilization review. That just makes sure that they're approved for the number of days that are medically appropriate and they don't go over. And MAP can help your members get to the appropriate and best place that they need to as far as their care, which factors into being the lowest cost. If they get to the best place to do it, usually the cost is lowest. And then your Midlands Choice access fee, that is the PPO, where we get discounts when members go to those providers. It's virtually impossible around here to go to a non-Midlands Choice provider, okay, locally. So if we look at the renewal, which leaves us at the $35,000 specific, the $30,000 aggregating, your new stop-loss rate at the renewal will be $172.18 and $492.88. That was a pretty significant jump, especially on the family side, and that is just because of your claims. Okay. The aggregate premium went up, like, 40 cents. Okay. So when we take the total stop-loss premium, which just adds that specific and the aggregate, you go from 127 for single to 178.62, so that's almost a $52 increase per person, and from 273.66 to 499.32. That's a pretty decent jump right there. Okay. So total stop-loss premiums are going to go from 175.751 almost to 267.783. Those are fixed costs. We know that you're going to pay those. It has nothing to do with the claims. The only thing that will make that number go up or down is if you add or subtract people that are covered. Okay, so if your enrollment goes up or down, that number will change a little bit. So when you add it, when you look at the total fixed cost for single, that takes all of these admin and PPO access fees and all of those. Goes from 169.55 to 217.17, 325.21 to 546.87 single family. Okay, again, a pretty decent jump there. So that would take your total fixed cost from 227.410 to 314.738. Aggregating specific would stay the same. And now we look at the funding factors, which I believe the county uses to budget, what they're going to budget to pay the claims. So on the single, 563.18 to 566.38, and family 1566.83 to 1589.61. Those are not significant jumps. So what you would have to budget to get to that aggregate where the carrier would start kicking in, that amount is not going up significantly, really. Your amounts here are going to be in the fixed cost. The other thing that we need to talk about, which we haven't had to talk about in a long time, is stop-loss carriers will put lasers, what they call a laser in, on somebody that they expect to have ongoing claims, where they say, we can either single out an individual or individuals and have them meet a higher specific, or we can spread that risk across the whole group. Usually a laser is a better deal because they may or may not hit that. Okay, and this one is contingent that is only for one diagnosis and one treatment. So if you look at the top right under the $35,000 specific deductible, there's a $75,000 laser and a $500,000 that is contingent. This is on the same person, two different scenarios. So, based on information that we have obtained to try to get your rates down, which it has, they did come down some, it's possible that the carrier could review that again and lower those amounts, but I don't think it's a huge concern because I don't think these treatments are going to be ongoing the way they have been during this current year. But I don't have a crystal ball, so it's very possible that...
Never know.
Yeah. If you wanted to look at increasing your specific deductible up to $45,000, what that means is you're taking on an additional $10,000 risk for every single belly button covered on your plan. Okay? So it's not just singles and families. It's if a family has six dependents, you're taking on $60,000 worth of risk on that one family, not just 20. Okay. If you look down, the rates are still increased over what you have now, but it does, it's something to, I don't really think that it's a consideration, but we like to show it in case you know, it's something that you would like to look at. But if you look at the total fixed costs and go down to the blue numbers, you're not coming out any further ahead. The costs are actually higher, and you have to take on the extra risk. Okay. We are also showing some other stop-loss carriers quotes. The alternate B is where the column starts. That is with the $35,000 specific, just like you have now. All the contracts are the same. The rates are comparable, but they're not better. And they have a lot more contingencies and lasers than your current carrier. All of those, the 120, the 400, the 80, and the 450, those would all be lasers applied if we switch carriers. And the same with alternate C. That's a really high contingent laser, and some of them haven't even completed all of their medical reviews, so those numbers could change. Okay.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
The laser business, that wouldn't that be like singling out one person and not giving him the same as the others in the group?
He has exactly the same. Everything's going to be paid exactly the same for him. It's just the county's liability for his claims.
It doesn't change his benefits at all.
Oh.
Because that...
These are her benefits.
Yeah. Yeah. So they paid all, like, the carriers reimbursed $737,000 worth of claims, so they reserve the right to put that laser on people that they think are easily going to go over that $35,000 specific and the $30,000. Like I said before, they can spread that risk amongst everybody, but then you're going to pay that cost every month whether anybody would hit those amounts or not. So really, it's a pretty good risk to take because it's very possible that you won't have to pay any of those laser amounts out because it is contingent on a singular diagnosis.
I don't think, to make it short, I mean, I don't have my glasses, so I'm not seeing this the best, but...
It's pretty little, isn't it?
Might not help, Larry, to be honest with you.
But if you got, like, an effective one idea, what's the maximum the insurance company will pay for a major problem?
There is no maximum. Whatever the claims are, once you go over your dollar amounts that the county is liable for, they have to pay all the rest.
Even if it's $1 million.
Yep. If it's $10 million.
But next time around, though, your rates are going to go up $500,000.
And that's kind of what we're in, right? Yeah. That's kind of what we've been doing the last few years. Yeah. They've been going up because our losses have been high. So our rates have been going up, you know, fairly dramatically. I mean, everybody's rates are going up, but ours have been going up because our losses have been
good. And we're taking steps, you know, to fix that. We've made some where we're stepping in some plan design changes where it's a little bit more in line with what's going on everywhere. The deductibles and stuff were really low, and so we're trying to bring those more in line. But, I mean, some of the treatments that people get and some of the diagnosis, it doesn't matter what their deductible is, they're just very expensive. Healthcare is very expensive for certain things, and so...
And we're a pretty small pool of people, you know, we're 100 people, so you have a couple of them with a real bad diagnosis that are paying $250,000, or the insurance company's paying $250,000, it really affects your rates. It's just such a small pool of... It's just...
Oh, I see. I thought we were in Nebraska.
No, we're just...
Yeah, that's a pretty small group.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So all it takes is one or two, you know, one really bad diagnosis and treatment, and it really skews your insurance.
Yeah, I can understand it.
I mean, your liability is limited, but the carrier, like you said, they have to keep paying until the claims are done, and so they're going to get you the next year. I mean, it's definitely reflected in the rates.
So when you become a commissioner, Larry, you got to be healthy.
I am. I got my own insurance. And I like it. I spent 9 days in Omaha at the medical center and didn't cost me 1 cent. And they did a good job.
So I apologize. I hate coming with bad numbers. It's way easier to do a renewal that looks better than this, but... We did get them hammered down some. It was worse, if you can believe that.
Right.
We just kind of keep... That's why we go to the...
What it is.
Okay, so for single, I'm just making sure that I'm in the right spot here.
Yeah.
with our old expiring plan, mm-hmm. was 127.
Yeah.
And that's where it's going to 178.62.
That's correct.
And family from 273 to 499.
Yep. Okay. Those are your stop loss premiums.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Go down. So if you look at those next set of numbers down, those basically are all of your fixed costs. So you're going from 169.55 to 217.17 for a single,
mm-hmm.
and 325 to 547 for a family. That's all fixed costs. So there's nothing we can do about those numbers. The only thing that'll change them is if your enrollment changes.
So that's what our employees are going to see. It'll be different in their premium per month.
I'm not sure how you charge the employees for their premiums. That's what we build. That's what the county is going to pay every month. Yep.
Right. You get billed. You're going to get billed that. Now, if the claim if the claims would go down to injury, then those hopefully we're standing here next year because 1 out of 5 years you're going to have a bad year, and then you know the rest of them one's going to break even. And eventually you're going to run into a good year where you're going to actually save money. So over the, yeah, believe it or not.
I think it was 3 years ago we had a really good reading.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Sorry you weren't here at this time.
Yeah. I feel real bad that you weren't here for that good news.
You just got the back end of the story. Sorry.
Rob, what's the difference between Lemons and Blue Cross Blue Shield?
Okay, Blue Cross Blue Shield is a fully blown insurance company. Okay, Midlands is just a what the preferred provider organization. They're just
middleman like.
Yes,
a broker.
Well, no, that's me.
Oh,
no, they're the middleman. They're the middleman that gives you discounts for the providers. So if you say I'm going to go to a Midlands Choice again, and a Midlands Choice is very wide in our area now, and then you've got the wraparound on the other. If you're outside, and so if somebody's traveling in Cincinnati and they need coverage, mm-hmm. they're still in there. You're still in the network. So it's basically your network. Midlands is the network provider, and they negotiate discounts because they'll go to a physician and say, "Do you want to be in the network?" Sure, you do. Of course, you do. Because we're going to. But they're only going to be able to charge a certain rate. Now, Blue Cross is going to do that, too, under their own network. But Midlands Choice is not an insurance company. It's just a preferred or a...
a network.
Yeah, a network.
We just rent them. I mean, they have this whole pool of providers that have agreed to offer services at a discounted rate, and we rent that network from Midlands Choice.
Yeah. So technically, you are your own little insurance company with a big insurance company underneath you, Larry. For backstop. That's where the term self-funded comes from. We're self-funding it, and then, like I said, you've got American National Life Insurance Company underneath for these large claims.
But otherwise, that $737,000 that they paid, the county would have had to pay that if we didn't have that coverage over and above what the county insures.
Yep.
You would have paid all that, too.
Okay.
All right, well, next year.
We'll see.
How much is it going to go up next year than a year from now?
I wish. It all depends on the claim.
And we always say this, is you live and die by your claims. If you have a good year and some of this activity doesn't happen where you have those big spikes, Janet, if you get a more normal year, so to speak, we may hopefully come here and say there's minimal increase.
Right. Or a decrease.
Well, it could be. Mm-hmm. Could be.
I mean, that's not out.
No, I don't.
It's not out of the normal.
Sometimes we can get, some competitive quotes that mm-hmm. get people to come down.
But the claims carriers are going to get a little nervous with some of these large claims, mm-hmm. to be very frank with you.
Sure.
And they're ongoing. I mean, that's the one thing is that when you work in this business, if you unfortunately have somebody that loses their fight with whatever they did at renewal time, I mean, they're not going to have any more claims next year, so they can come off of what the carrier is looking at to determine the rate. That seems morbid, but, I mean, that's how you look at it after a while.
Mm-hmm. Or a person leaves.
Yes.
Now, a lot of people leave. They get here and they don't leave. But in private sector, if you have a high claim, a person leaves your employment, goes somewhere else, you're right, then that carrier is off the risk for that.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, in a governmental body, that doesn't seem to happen very often.
Mm-hmm.
So you really get two bills from Three Rivers. You get the bill with all of these rates on it, and then every week when we pay claims, there's a check register with the dollar amounts, and that bill is also funded by the county until the carrier kicks in. So there's two components to the cost.
So we kind of have our cap.
Mm-hmm.
We're self-insured up to X.
Yep.
Correct.
Yep. Okay. That's it in a nutshell. And the rest is just claims.
Yeah.
You know, and again, that's why you're encouraging to have people do their preventatives, okay. Do the colonoscopies, doing all that stuff. There's no limit.
Program, right?
Okay.
They need to join the wellness programs.
The wellness, yeah.
Now, over time, that's not a light switch solution,
right.
But over time, and again, because you have employees that stay here mm-hmm. for a long period of time, over time you can see some benefits to it.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't make the pill easy
no.
to swallow today. Sorry.
No. Right.
All right.
Well, that's a brand new information.
The last two pages, there's another pretty pink piece of paper, and then the last two, this is for your dental plan, which the good news is there that your cost barely went up at all with the dental. So it's the same type of chart that we started out with. It's got your eligibility month by month, single and family, your total fixed cost, your claims. So long story short, your cost for employee is $30.30. Last year it was $29.54. So, I mean, it's just a very slight increase. And for family, is $72.11. And last year it was $70.30. So, your dental plan is running excellent.
Yeah. That's a great addition from a dental point of view. That's a good. Those are awesome rates, by the way, as compared to the private sector rates and what I would pay for my dental.
Mm-hmm. Great.
So the one thing that I should mention is Joan has the disclosure statement, which the carrier requires. We have all the backup that goes with it, and there's one question in there that would require the county to physically answer, and that's anybody that's not actively at work on the day that you sign it, we would need to know. Just to disclose it to them so they know somebody's gone, you know, having heart surgery or whatever the case is. As soon as you sign that disclosure statement, they stop underwriting. That is good in many ways, but once that's signed, if you have a huge claim hit, if you sign it today and you have a huge claim hit tomorrow, they're not going to redo your rates based on new claims information. So, I mean, it seems that these couldn't get much worse, but they could. If you've got somebody that has something catastrophic happen in the next 17 days, mm-hmm. they could. These rates could be refigured
okay.
until the disclosure is signed. So. Questions?
No, I don't think so. Yes, let's talk about that. You know, these claims, that rest of the fiscal year.
You want us to approve a stop loss contract renewal today, correct?
Yes.
Yes, we need to take action.
All right, anybody else have any questions?
What is the stop loss contract? What is that? Is that the 35?
That's the renewal, Jan. Yes.
Yeah.
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 The
okay.
column two.
Right
yeah.
here. This column.
Yeah.
Yep.
Got it.
Any other discussion? Any questions you have, Janet?
Well, I guess I'm just trying to figure out. So, what's the amount that hits our budget? I guess that's how do we tell that?
What our actual costs are going to be?
Yeah, is that the red line down here? The
technically
annual aggregate. Is that what that is? Or
well, you're going to look at the total fixed cost plus 100% of the attachment. If
okay.
you budget, do you budget at 100% act factors?
I have no idea. We.
So yeah,
I thought you did.
I think so too. So that red line total annual fixed cost plus 100% of the attachment, that's your cost.
So it went up. Do you have a percent on that?
I'm just going to do it in my phone.
Yeah, 11.
11%?
Yeah. I did the percentage on the blue numbers, and that was 11%.
So the blue numbers or the red numbers?
I did them at work on the blue. The red numbers are going to be similar.
What percent did you come up to? I come up to like 9.
Yeah. And on the...
That's even better.
Yeah. Yeah. I like the way you do, man.
Yeah. And again, this doesn't make the facility easy to swallow, but from my perspective, in the private sector, you know, we have the governmental bodies, but in the private sector, that's pretty in line what's going on in the world.
Mm. You
know, yeah. It's pretty, you know, from a three-person group all the way up to, you know, a 30-person group, that's pretty... I have seen some higher double digits, but mm-hmm. And I've seen one that actually went down. But, mm-hmm. So
if I had to go out on the open market and buy the plan, mm-hmm. how much would it be?
A lot more.
Yeah. What is it right now for each individual? 4,000 or 4,500 or something?
If you're charging your... You're charging the family aggregate rate factor, right?
Yeah.
So that's $1,500 or $1,590. That would be
plus the $325. So I'm going to be like $1,800.
$1,800. And what's the benefit right now?
$400.
First of all, you can't find a $400 benefit on the open market rate. The minimum you can find to the marketplace is $1,000.
Suppose it's just me.
Yeah. You still can't find one.
For $1,000.
You'd have to go $1,000.
Deductible. Your deductible. Your deductible.
Oh, it's okay. $550 now.
So the county's got a $550 deductible.
Yeah.
So on the open market, the single rate is probably 7-something, I would think, depending on age and everything else. So even though you think your rates are high, first of all, you have very good benefits. You have excellent benefits, and actually your rates, as compared to the open market, higher. So there
are... Yeah, I mean, we have a record number of people that are taking COBRA coverage now because the COBRA premium is so much cheaper than what they can go out and find in the open market for a plan that has a way higher deductible. Mm-hmm. And they're going to pay more in the open market than they are for COBRA, which
is crazy.
Yeah, that's unheard of.
COBRA's only good for so long, though.
Right, 18 months, yeah.
But most people don't take COBRA because it's cost prohibitive. It's so expensive, but not compared to the open market.
COBRA will figure that out in a hurry.
Yeah, right?
Theirs will be jumping. Yeah.
So what we do for the employees is... could be considered a real generous benefit.
Sure. Yeah.
Open market.
Yeah. Because you can't, you can't find a $550 deductible on the open market anymore. The minimum's $1,000.
That's what we're trying to tell the employees, Larry. I mean, they think about putting a reasonable deductible.
Sure.
Yeah, mine alone, my wife and I think ours is around $9,000. Mm-hmm. And we get Medicare.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I think we got that.
It is what it is.
It's almost unheard of. I mean, most people have 1,000.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure.
Well, and we're working our way up.
We were at 250 2 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
We're stepping it up.
Yeah. And I work for an insurance company, okay. Dennis, mm-hmm. and mine's $3,200 for a family. Mm-hmm. Just the deductible.
You must have that Cadillac plan.
Not a Cadillac, trust me. The problem with diabetes, it's not a Cadillac plan, trust me.
I think you bought it across the street there. Yeah. From there.
you have a very nice plan. Tell your employees that all the time.
We do.
I know. They don't believe you.
Well, unless they're talking to one another, they would have a hard time finding anybody feel sorry for them outside of here when they say, oh, my gosh, my deductible went up to $550. People would go crazy.
And favorable copays, too.
Yeah.
Favorable copays.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, it is. It's eye-opening. Okay.
All right. We're going to make a motion to approve the stop-loss contract renewal.
Is that your motion,
Yeah, it is my motion.
Okay.
I can...
I'll second that. So that's the blue.
Mm-hmm.
The red.
Second column. Top to bottom. Second column.
Okay. Motion by Marty. Second by Janet. Okay. Marty?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
While you fine folks are here, I got something else for you. For the miscellaneous, we're going to take F and move that up here to approve the Dakota County 2019 plan document for employees' health benefits reflecting the January 1st plan year.
Yeah.
We had a few questions on that last time, didn't we?
Yeah. If I was doing this, I wouldn't do it this way either. I'm not sure why the out-of-pocket does not include the deductible, but if you take the two numbers and add them together, the $550 and the $1,200, it does come up to those negotiated rates. So you just have to add the deductible and the out-of-pocket maximum together to get the dollar amount. So,
and then Janet had some concerns on the...
There's a big add. Looks like there's a lot of stuff added on under section. I can't remember.
Subrogation.
Probably.
Yeah. The highlight.
Because it's gray.
Yeah.
Subrogation is something that is good for the county, because basically what that means is if somebody has a claim that could be payable by a third party, we subrogate so that if they get any type of settlement or another insurance company pays, we have the right to go back and get the dollars that the county paid out for that member, because we wouldn't have had to. It shouldn't have. So it is a pretty complex topic. And so we've probably just clarified some of the, because your documents always had subrogation language in it. Mm-hmm. It's probably just a little bit more clear than it used to be.
As to who is responsible for what.
Mm-hmm. And most of the time we won't pay the claims until we get the subrogation notice back, so that the member signs off on the fact that they know.
It's kind of in limbo.
Yeah.
So somebody doesn't get a pocket. Bunch of payment, and then have to go back and reclaim it.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, usually if it's something big, they're going to get a lawyer. If there is any kind of settlement, the lawyer contacts us and says, here's our settlement, and there the negotiations start on what gets paid back to the claim.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank
you. Good. Other questions about the plan documents?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I think we're good to go.
All right. Thank you guys very much.
Thank you guys.
All right.
Action on that?
Yeah, let's go ahead and we had tabled that from the previous meeting. So let's go ahead and make a motion to approve the plan document January 1st plan year.
I'll second that. Tony?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Marty?
Yes. All right, Fred.
Did we
County Road Report?
January 27th through February 9th, 55 hours of grading, road maintenance, 160 hours of snow removal, no rock, 16 hours of sign repair, road concerns, grading on South Bluff and gravel. You got gravel on gravel. It is Ray Heidelbrack Road. I can't think of the name of it right off. And it's right off Blyberg. But anyway, there was a concern about gravel there. It was a soft spot that came up. And I actually proofread these, so I didn't get any directions. Any questions or concerns?
Nothing hops out at me.
Okay.
Thank you, Fred.
Thank you.
Thanks, Fred.
All right, Sheriff Feinberg, jail report.
Good afternoon.
I need to follow the safe noise.
Mm-hmm.
Insurance is important stuff. Right. So in January, we averaged 80 county, 30 federal, 0 juveniles, and 110. Calendar year for 2019 was 80, 30 federal, and 110 in-house. Fiscal 2018 and 19, averaging 87, 26 feds, 0.01 juveniles, 113 in-house. January Marshals was 54,750 of income. ICE, 10,214. BIA, $260. And so the average for federal was 65,225 for the month of January. And then fiscally, where Marshals bought 317,834. ICE, 80,971. BIA, 1,755. And fiscal for federal inmates was 400,561. we're averaging about $60 a day for the month of January cost per inmate, which is a little high for me. I'd like to get it down a little more again. I think we're creeping up a little bit. We had some medical issues last month, a couple of different folks. We spent $210,000 for the month of January. Jail is at 58% of our yearly budget, which we're 0% over. We're actually under budget. But we did go over budget for the month of January, about 4.36%. I think that's also attributed to the medical issues we had in jail. January bookings, 30 for the Sheriff's Office, 20 for the PD, 1 for NSP, and of course, cell 17, feds 47, and other 11, so a total of 126. Homeless has went up again to 2, that's the number we're reporting. So, that's about it, folks.
So you blamed that January was a little higher because of medical expenses?
Yeah, Tony, what usually will change that number as cost per day is going to be what I spent the month prior on.
Reflects on
it's the always time. Medical.
I see.
This is one of the only states we don't get reimbursed for that, which I don't know why.
From who? Reimbursed from who?
Well, many other states. Iowa. Many other states, and I tried this back when I was in Thurston County, going to, actually it was when our treasurer was our senator, to get Nebraska to pass a law to help get reimbursed from the inmates for their medical expenses or for a per day type thing, like every other state does. For some reason, it didn't go. I don't know why, I'd like to try it again, but I don't get down there as much as I did prior, so... Iowa doesn't even pay for medical. We're one of the only states that still do that.
Hmm.
Anyway.
Yeah. So homeless, you actually go out and pick up homeless people and bring them in and house them?
No, they actually get arrested for something and end up in jail, and when we ask them where they live, they're homeless.
Probably purposely.
So in this state, could be.
I would if I was homeless.
Could be.
Reason is that. Yeah. I know, a matter of fact, an old guy way back 55, 60 years ago. That's what he'd do. And Tony Goetz would put him up for the winter.
Oh, we did. That's
he'd
pretty
go,
common.
He'd go do something, misdemeanor thing, and then Tony would lock him up, and he'd go out and help Tony on the farm.
Yep. That's
and
pretty
he
common.
He lived in the jail.
Those are the good old days.
Yeah, he wasn't stupid.
And it was. In Thurston County, there was quite a bit of that.
Mm.
We'd have our winter guests.
Winter guests. Mm-hmm.
The problem with it isn't so much the housing and feeding them. It's not the problem. It's these medical expenses that just kill us.
Because everything in your business is pretty much a fixed expense other than the medical.
You know, the hospital sees us walking in, just like we did last weekend. We set up there. Not only do we have to pay overtime for the guard that has to stay with them, because they're 24/7, we have to have somebody there with them.
I saw where you had a guy there for 12 hours. So.
Yeah, we have to pay for all the medical expenses. So it's very expensive when somebody comes in. We can't just release them. We have to sit there with them.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Good report,
Jerry. Yep, we're good.
I can complain or make it look better.
Keep bringing more money.
I know. Tomorrow we got another trip. Last week I got stuck up in Minnesota with Mark. We had 13 ice going across the state of Minnesota. It wasn't supposed to snow. 30 miles an hour all the way across the street.
Because of the weather?
Yeah.
Very bad.
And then, Sheriff, the
tomorrow we go back out to the other side of Fort Dodge with 12. And I just looked at the weather forecast. Fort Dodge are calling 7 to 10 inches of snow tonight. So it looks like tomorrow is going to be another 15-hour day.
The last time I talked to you, the next day you were going to Sioux Falls then?
That was the same day. Yeah, we went to Elk Point, Sioux Falls. You're right. That was a different day.
Is that a transport where they were actually...
That day we took marshals up for the Conair flight, so that's one of the stopping points for the feds. So we helped O'Brien County, that house a lot of feds, mm-hmm. take some of these guys up because they're flying them to another prison somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes place in Sioux Falls and Lincoln, and we usually end up going to Sioux Falls. I hadn't done one for quite some time. But also when we did that, we had to pick up another inmate that was in the Sioux Falls jail. So once we dropped those guys off at the plane, we used that same time to swing through Sioux Falls, pick up our inmate. So we could double bill on that one. I don't know, it's crazy. You know, if you think of a sheriff, what am I doing out transporting?
Good guy.
Don't have other guys to do it. But anyway. But if they're paying by the hour, why don't we get a horse and a buggy?
There you go.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.
All right, next we have Carol Larvick back for her second week in a row.
She's still
Extension Educator, University of Nebraska, requesting board approval. 2 members to the Extension Board. Thank you. Larry Ombra. I thought that was Larry Obanicious there when I first glanced at it, but it's Larry Ombra.
That's your name. Larry Albright.
Larry Albright.
Mm-hmm. Right. So we have an extension board that meets monthly. They approve the bills before they actually come to you guys. They also work with us on programming in our local area. You can see our current board members. We did have a board member retire off of the board. Our board is comprised of at least 3 and not more than 12 registered voters in the county, and they serve a 3-year term, and then they can continue on after that if they like. We had 2 new board members. The university has them actually fill out an application at this point, and I didn't bring those with me, but they fill out an application that basically says, why do you want to be on the board, and are you a registered voter? And we have 2 that our current board members would like to see join our board. Jim Hubbard lives near Dakota City, school teacher in South Sioux. Dalton Gable is a senior in college at the University of Nebraska, hoping to come back to Dakota County and add to our local economy and work here.
What type of work is he going to do?
Don't know. He would like to be a vet, so he's trying to get into vet school. But in today's world, we have a system called Zoom, so if he goes to vet school, we probably would just put him on the computer on the screen and have him still be a part
of the group. Yep.
Yep.
I know Jim, last time I talked to him, said this is his last year of teaching, so I'm sure he's looking for ways to branch out, so that'd be a great addition to your board.
Yep, that's what we think, too. He actually served on our board many, many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So. Nice to see some young people. I know Dalton is the same age as my youngest, 25, 26. Nice
to
have young people.
I'm looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm.
We are looking for also members that are not white, but every time we get somebody that we bring them in for one meeting to see how we go, they decide they don't. That's not really what they want to do. So.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we sure don't want to fake it like we're something different, or we'll get in a lot of trouble.
You've been watching The Morning America. All right. Do we need to make a motion on that, or is she just informing us that?
No, we have to approve.
All right.
Okay. You have to make a motion. I'll make a motion to accept Dalton Gable and Jim Hubbard as new members of the Dakota County Extension Board.
Second.
Fantastic.
Larry.
Yes.
Janet.
Yes.
Marty.
Yep.
Tony.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
You bet. Thank you.
Have
a great day. You bet. Board to approve planning and zoning membership appointments. One appointment from the following geographic areas: Rural Dakota City, Rural Village of Homer, Village of Jackson. Term from February 2019 to February 2022.
Actually, what happens, because the first year that we have any applicants for planning and zoning, so the three former guys that there is in planning and zoning, they willing to stay on, which is, we got a good group, but I think, you know, they're nice people. So, Christy Hanges, and Harold Moss and Ron Gill, the three of them must have to continue on the board for the next 3 years. So we'd like to make a motion to appoint those three guys, myself, for the next 3 years.
I would second that.
Janet?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
All right. The board to approve the terms of engagement with Nebraska Auditor of Public Accounts to provide Dakota County with an audit of the financial statements for fiscal year ending June 30th of 2018. So the state is going to come in and audit our books. We've had independent auditors for the last several years and thought it'd just be nice to get a second set of eyes on there, and that's what we're going to do.
Good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good idea.
I agree. I'll make a motion to accept the Nebraska Auditor Public Accounts to be the auditor for our books for the year ended June 30th.
Marty?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes. So they're going to begin that audit like next week, it looks like, 25th. Almost immediately. Or the week of Monday.
Yeah. We hired them last January or so, but this is their terms of engagement. So.
Okay.
And then we'll go ahead and wait until they're done to see if they want to follow up with anything for next year before we hire our group for next year.
We sent out a proposal and got...
I think I was at that meeting when you guys...
I think we only got one.
But they asked us to not...
Officially?
Not officially hire anybody, just in case they reserve the right to come back and edit this audit of the second year.
Okay.
If they see anything or they see anything they want to follow up on and watch, then we're not obligated to pay that other auditor and the state. So,
got it.
Very good. All right. Approved renewal of the Employee Assistance Program contract for services between Dakota County and Mercy Business Health from March 1st, 2019 to March 1st, 2020.
This is an existing agreement. I assume we already have. This isn't a new plan.
Yep.
Okay.
They had dropped some, like a mental health coverage out of our health insurance plan, and so this is kind of a stopgap that the employees can go to Mercy. And I think I copied just that last page. It shows for everybody so that it showed what they offer to all the employees.
So this is the premium. Is this the premium that we pay, or the employees that pay, or it kind of is part of
the county pays? The county pays it.
Okay. So it's good to have these kind of plans for your staff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
Do I need to make a motion? I don't worry. Mm-hmm. I'd like to make a motion to approve the Dakota County Employee Assistance Program from March 1st, 2019 to March 1st, 2020.
I would second that.
Tony?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep. All right, Commissioner Committee Reports. Anybody got anything handy that they...
I went to the Cape Nebraska, Northeast Nebraska Beautiful meeting a couple weeks ago, and I'm assuming you guys are aware that there's an Earth Day that's being hosted on Sunday, April 28th, for focusing on renewable you know, fuels and kind of everything about recycling. Yeah. I don't think we have a specific part in it, but but it will be a countywide celebration.
I went to the Veterans Oversight Committee that I'm part of a week ago, and there's representatives from all the American Legions in Dakota County and the VFW. There's a lot of things that they deal with, and I just grabbed their cover sheet just to kind of give you an idea of what they deal with. And this is in a quarter, over the course of 3 months. So in our county, and he also covers Dixon County, there have been 23 people that were discharged from the service that he helped do the paperwork with, a power attorney for 25 different veterans. You know, they get hunting and fishing permits. Seven different guys came in for that. They received 179 phone calls over the course of that time from veterans asking for help filling their various reports out and things out for them. So it's actually a pretty busy office. They deal with a lot of veterans, and very good. They go and visit all the veterans that are in the nursing home and twice a year, give them $50 to their accounts so they can get something from the commissary there. I guess commissary is probably a better word for the jail, but from the things there at the nursing home. And it's a good group. And then I also sat in on the city council meeting for Dakota City the other night. They're just looking to TIF an area south of town. They currently had half of their town TIFed, and you can only TIF half of it, so they moved some of it
blighted,
so they can have a TIF. So it's a blighted area, so that way if a developer does come in and says, you know, I'd like to build this, they're thinking maybe a housing development or something down the road, they could come in and they could get some help with the tax portion of it if they decide to do something in the future. They'd also like to do something on the old city dump site, but they're just really not sure what they can do with that area. So, other than that.
So then we would lose tax revenue from
it? Yeah, we don't lose anything now while it's, you know, blighted. But if they would come in and agree to TIF that area, then the county would.
Same,
I mean, we lose.
Same as Ho-Chunk Village. Yeah.
Ho-Chunk Village or Walmart or
The
vast majority of things that have moved in here. And it's not an unusual deal. It's just, but it is tough on counties to provide all them services and not get any revenue for those properties.
Is it permanent?
It's over a course of time. 15 to 20 years.
Oh, that long?
Yeah.
Ducks Increment Finance work 15 years. They can be renewal.
Mm.
They can renew it if they want to.
So it's not just a startup to get them started?
No. It's millions and millions of dollars.
You need to talk to your senator, you know.
do we have a say in it or not really? Outside of being
the way it's structured, you don't know.
Like the city of South Sioux can do theirs independent of the county, and the city of Dakota City can do theirs. You know, if somebody came in, you know, it would put us in a higher spot. If somebody came in and said, man, we'd love to build this big manufacturing facility in Dakota County, but we would need some of that. So then that would be a bridge that, you know, everybody has to cross at some time or another. Mm-hmm. But it is. It does make it tough.
Yeah. Very tough. It's about a revenue.
Anything else? Any
more? Oh, yeah. Okay, when they go out, the state goes out and does a traffic count on different roads in the county.
Mm-hmm.
Do we get a record of that?
I think we do.
Well, you do.
Because the city...
If it's in the county.
See, now, last spring, they had the things out on Sawmill Road and in the Tompkins area.
Lake Avenue out there.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
I remember them there.
And then, following that, they were down to Homer and they did River Creek. And I think where they turn off, go on Wiggle Creek. It ain't Wiggle Creek, but something else. And then about a mile out to the west, a mile and a quarter or so. And they had them there, and then they had them turn on down to M Avenue. M and Taylor Creek, see?
Mm-hmm.
So my question was I never did talk to the guy. I saw him once, but I didn't stop. Why they do that, you know, I've never heard, you know, any results from it, you know.
They do them all over. I mean, you drive around, you always see that Nader truck.
Yeah, they do them right
around
South Sioux.
Yeah.
But I guess it'd be nice to know.
Yes.
You know,
request those numbers.
Where this majority of the traffic is, and I suppose they do it for wheel tax, I suppose, don't they?
There's no wheel tax.
There's no wheel tax in there.
I think I heard
there used to be in South Sioux.
I heard in one meeting, Larry, I don't remember where or when, that they do that so they can count the vehicles and go to that particular road or the highway, so they how they allocate money for the permanent roads.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's what it is.
I think so, too.
Yeah, it is.
I'll try to find out.
Matter of fact, I thought that was when we just worked on G Street years and years ago for the city of South Sioux. We got paid for doing the work through the wheel. What they made reference to the wheel tax, whatever in the world that was. I mean, I just assumed that that was the traffic count. So many people using the road, then they get made a mistake to fix it or do something.
And at one time, I know Omaha had a wheel tax, and it was based on how many vehicles you had. And it was a tax regardless if you drove it or not.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'd like to know, and I don't know if Fred knows or not. I don't know.
You just have to ask him.
I never thought of it.
Do you have any mail or emergency business? All right. Go ahead.
We had a question as it relates to protocol at this meeting. I've been to multiple meetings, but usually there's like a motion, a second of the motion, and then there's usually discussion. But we do the opposite here, don't we? We do the discussion, then we do the motion, the second of the motion. Okay.
Usually.
So if you have a question, you should
Yeah, throw it out there beforehand.
The motion gets thrown out there. Okay. Just to make sure I'm here.
Yeah.
You can do it easy.
That is the correct
can
way.
Can be done either, right.
Which one?
That is the correct way. You should always ask for discussion before you take a vote.
All right. Well, I'm fine with doing it that way.
But, it's like... I mean, we at our board meetings, we say there must be a motion and a second, and then we open it for discussion. And then sometimes the amendment is the motion is changed as a result of discussion or pulled. I just didn't know.
I think that's a fair way to do it. Maybe I'll just do it that way from now on.
I don't really care, but if I have a question, I want to know when to insert it, whether I insert it at the beginning or wait till.
And should the public be asked to discuss also?
They can't. I mean, you can open it and ask them. Like each topic, and the public comment's really meant for anything other than on the
agenda. So then, if they can't talk about anything on the agenda under public comment, they should be able to weigh in on the agenda item.
They kind of cleared out after they as we went.
Big audience
and you can
today.
Move. Yeah, you can move public comment wherever.
And that's a long meeting.
You don't have to have it at every meeting.
But if somebody wanted to comment, like those folks from BLS, if they wanted to comment, they could have, or should have, I should have said, do you have anything to add? If I'm just Jeff, should I ask?
And a lot of times they'll, say, hey, can I say
really?
Something?
Did they raise their hand? I didn't
know.
No, they did. They did not, but they were just here to see what we did, I think, and report back.
Okay.
But they were here today, right?
Yeah, they were here, but I was probably paying enough attention to know whether I asked them to come back. I didn't want to...
Sorry.
Matter of fact, I know where he's coming from, but there was times I had questions about something that was being discussed, but I felt I had to wait till the public comment. By the time I come around, I had two or three questions I would have forgot.
We were just stalling with you, Larry.
Yeah, we get really long.
Well, you weren't in that chair then.
There
was no guy there.
That's what happened when you do that. The meetings get way too long. Yeah. I mean, that's just...
But you can limit that. You can limit that.
We just limit to 3 minutes, kind of what we said. And
okay. All right.
No, I'm fine. And I know exactly where you're coming from because I felt the same way when I first started, just not knowing what. And I think that is a fair way to make the motion and then discuss it. Anybody got any discussion? Anybody got a question about that? And then if not, then we move forward. And if you don't feel the same way as other people, that's a good time to get that out there and maybe let them decide, maybe clarify it to them so maybe they're going to decide based on what you tell them. So I think that's a good idea.
Joan, do you have a typed up thing that tells me where I'm supposed to be for what meetings, if I'm on any of them? So far, I've only been contacted by one
department. Larry, next meeting on the 25th, I'm going to have Larry come. Does that work for you on the 25th?
I don't care. You tell me. I'll be
okay.
Here.
Okay. I'll tell you what, does the 25th work for you? Because I know Larry's got a little more freedom in his schedule. Does the 25th work for you?
For
to come in early to do the accounts payable.
Yeah, I just kind of want to get it on my rotation calendar so I can be aware.
Do you want to do it on, does the 25th work?
That's my first day back from vacation,
so I prefer not to. Okay, Larry, next time. And we'll shoot for March 11th for you then, Jack.
For me? Okay.
And if there's a conflict, we'll rotate that around. But
yeah, I'll do that.
So next time, why don't you come in at... you want to just come in at 9 o'clock? It'll take us a couple hours, and you can go have lunch, do whatever you want.
Yeah, right.
So I'll see you at 9 o'clock on the 25th.
Do you want Jack here to review payroll then with you on the 11th, or are you doing it once?
No, to do the accounts payable.
So it wouldn't be 11th. It would be...
Oh, sorry.
The 25th. Sorry.
The 25th is me?
Yeah, that's accounts payable if you're doing it once a month.
Oh,
yeah.
Once. Oh, we don't do accounts payable every time?
Just accounts payable is what we're going to do. Larry will come in on the 25th.
Of February.
Yep.
Okay.
And then
Janet
will
on the 25th of March.
Yep.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, payroll every time.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't realize
that. Payroll's every time. And that's just, look, everybody has a payroll sheet. You see the hours they work.
That's going to be pretty cut and dried there.
Yeah, that's cut and dried. But the other one is pretty interesting. You can actually look through every department.
Well, I want to see the invoices.
Yeah, every invoice is there.
One particular department.
You can look at those. You think it's pretty interesting until you start looking at them all. And then but no, it's.
Well, I'm sure I'll have a lot of questions.
So March 25th is me. Yeah. At 9 or 11.
What works for you? Do you want to do it just before the meeting?
I would like to do it before the meeting.
Yep. So let's go at if we go at 11 o'clock, and maybe in the future we can go 10 or 11:30. But let's go 11 o'clock.
Okay.
You got to bring Marty a sandwich.
No, I'm good.
You got to work
sure.
Through.
Sure, I could do that. I'll be bringing my own. Sure.
All right, Larry. We will see you next week at 9 o'clock.
Not next week, the week after that. Yeah. 2 weeks. Yeah, next meeting.
Yeah, I'll remember.
All right. Make a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Second.
We don't do that. But just adjourn.
Okay, let's adjourn.
Thank you.
Okay.
What time?
2:37.